Go back with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. This story of Barabbas is given in all four Gospels. There's very much to be seen here. The first thing that we're going to see is the terrible story, black picture of man's utter depravity and wickedness, a natural man's hatred of all that is holy, just, and good. Now, especially in this story, we have to be faithful to Scripture. We cannot preach this story as bad as it was. The half has never been told. We have never known what we are capable of. And the gospel only really shines bright when it's given in light of just how bad man is. And the most beautiful part of this story, and the glorious part of this story, the wonderful story we're going to see is this substitution. It's the heart. It is the gospel. Christ in our stead. Two men were before the people. Verse 11 says Jesus stood before the governor. And later he stood before the whole mob. Thousands of people were gathered that day. Jesus, the man. Who is sufficient for this? This man who walked this planet. Holy. Scripture calls him holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled. Scripture calls him the altogether lovely one. Beautiful, pure, blameless, good, holy, just, kind, merciful in all his ways, gracious, lovely, loving, perfect in thought, unable to be bribed, unprejudiced. Surely good people would love such a good person as this. Well, good people would. Oh, my, the man. His very character. I thought about this. The very character of the man, Jesus, ought to make people sit up and take notice. That this is more than just a man. There's never been a man like this. That man is not capable. With man, this is impossible to act as he did, to speak. No man spake like this man. No man was more kind. No man was more merciful. No man was more gracious. No man was more compassionate. No man was more loving. No man was holy as he was. Just. No man more fair, more righteous in all his ways. No man. There's never been a man like this. It ought to make us sit up and think, he must be more than a man. Even Pilate, not written here, but in another gospel, when he beheld this man, he watched him carefully for days, and he exclaimed, "Behold, the man." God had him write that to show us what a man. What a man. But he's not just a man. He's the God-man, God that was manifest in the flesh. Now, we say this all the time, don't we? We quote that all the time, don't we? We keep saying that over and over again, don't we? Well, number one, this is our salvation. That this man was more than just a man. A mere man can't save me. Salvation is of the Lord, you see. And we say it because the world, all they see is a man. That's all they see. And salvation is to see this one high and lifted up. Christ said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me." That's how. That's salvation, to see him as he is. All flesh is going to see him someday as he is, aren't they? All flesh. Many are going to be shocked to see that the Jesus they thought was gentle Jesus, meek and mild and so forth, and still in their hands to do with as they will, going to be shocked to see that they are in his sovereign hands, always have been, to do as he will. Going to be shocked. They're going to see him as he is. Omniscient. All-knowing. Omnipotent. All authority. All power over all flesh, Christ said. All power over all flesh. People don't, they just don't. Well, our Lord said they do err, not knowing the Scripture. Omnipresent. Always present. Everywhere, sovereign, reigning. This man who stood before this puppet judge, Pilate, is the one that put him there. No authority, all authorities of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And the one standing to be accused and judged is actually the judge of the accuser. That this one is truly the governor. Scriptures, the profound irony of all this, Scripture says he stood before the governor. The governor. Now, that man's reign ended, didn't it? But of his reign, Scripture says, of Christ's reign, there's no end. The governor of all the nation, the universe, sovereign. And all that means, choosing whom he will, saving whom he will, doing as he will. Well, it was this person that the people hated then. Who I'm talking about now, whom the Scriptures declares, the sovereign Christ, the reigning Christ, is the one they hated back then. Notice when Pilate said, "What will you do with Jesus, the Christ?" Christ, now, the Jews knew back then that Christ meant God. Sammy, they knew that the Christ that was coming was going to be the King, the sovereign one, to reign over them, to rule them, God. They said it in Isaiah 25. The people, this is our God. We've waited on it. He will come now. They didn't expect him to be a man. Not like this, anyway. And they hated him. They said, "We will not have this man reign over us." Remember, they said, "You're just a man. You make yourself to be God." Remember that? Remember they said, you're not 50 years old yet. Have you seen our father Abraham? He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones. Every one of them got rocks. We're going to kill him right then and there. "No, we will not have you reign over us. We'll have you heal our bodies. We'll have you feed our bellies. We'll have you do this and that and the other, but not reign over us." It was that way then, and it's that way now. And you can preach the good, kind, gentle Jesus to men today, and they'll love every word of it. But just don't give us this sovereign Lord. But this is salvation. Isn't this the message that God used to
convict your heart. It was the message at Pentecost, wasn't it? And it was it's the message now. It's the saving message now. Who is this? Just who is this? We can't labor this point enough. All that, because of who He is, means everything He said is right. Because of who He is means everything He did was effectual. Because of who He is, that means your relationship with Him is salvation or damnation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Who is He? Jesus. Jesus. Well, then there's another fellow, Barabbas. Who is this Barabbas fellow? Verse 16. He says he's a notable prisoner called Barabbas. His name, I looked it up, it's just the son of a man named Abbas, Bar Abbas. Barabbas, it says, though, was a notable prisoner. A notable prisoner. We've, in our history, we've known a few notable prisoners, haven't we? The Charles Mansons. The Timothy McVeighs, the notable one. That means notorious. That means everybody knows them. Everybody takes note. This is the worst fellow of all. Notable prisoner. Everybody knew him, knew how bad he was. Notoriously wicked, violent, well known for his wickedness. A man who could kill without remorse. Just take a life and have no thought whatsoever. There's been many, haven't there? A man who could take what belonged to others without any pain or prick of conscience. He was the people's choice. Amazing, isn't it? Used to be a preacher. I always use the term so-called preacher. Man, many of you older folks might remember him, named Rex Humbart. Hesitate to use his name, but he's a notable, one of these notable ones. But he got all carried away in his little sermon one day, and he said, talking about this, tears running down his face, he said, if I'd have been there, I'd have stopped it. If I'd have been there, I'd have stopped it. Poor Jesus. No, he wouldn't have either. He'd have been Caiaphas. If he'd been in religion, he'd been Caiaphas, the high priest, the one delivering him up. For money. Judas. The people, verse 17, were offered a choice. Pilate said unto them, whom will ye? Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, this notable, this notoriously wicked fella, or Jesus? This notable holy man. What do you have? What will you have? They were offered a choice. Men like to have choice, don't they? Men like to have freedom of will, don't they? All right then. What do you have? Here is holiness personified. Do you understand this? Yeah, you do. But here's holiness personified. The only holy man that ever lived, really, walked this planet. And even his accusers could find no fault in him. Here he is, and here is the worst man that ever lived. What do you think? Who you have? The multitude. Roy, there was not one single dissenting voice. There was not one single person in the crowd who said, this is not right. To a man, to a woman, to a young person. They said, verse 22, whither of the two? They said, Barabbas. Up in verse 18, we looked at this last week ago or so. It says they delivered him for envy, meaning they envied his power. They envied his authority. They envied his everything. He had all power and authority, and they wanted that for themselves. So Let's get rid of him. Get rid of him. Old Pilate said, why? They said, crucify him. Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? That's just it. Would you go with me to John 15? John 15. John chapter 15. Remember our Lord said one time, if you then being evil. Scripture says of the natural man, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spot? Neither can you do good which are accustomed to doing evil. That's what it says of the natural man. The new man is a new man, created in the image of Christ Jesus, just like him. A new creature. New man's given a new heart. The heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That hard heart of stone, that's what every man has by nature. But God Almighty in Ezekiel 36 says, a new heart I will give them, a heart of flesh. I'll take away that stony heart, give them a heart of flesh. They'll love me. Put my spirit in them. But the natural man, that's who we're talking about. The natural man. Our Lord said this in John 15, verse 22 and following. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no excuse, no covering. See what the Lord, what the Scriptures does, the Word written and the Word incarnate. What the Word does is exposes us. It's the first thing it does. Exposes our evil. Man's not born good, but evil. And our Lord went on to say in John 15, he said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. In the name of God, they do what they do and say what they say, but they don't know God. Our Lord said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd hear me. You'd believe me. You'd bow to me. But he's not. He's not the Father of all men. He's our Father by adoption. Well, so Pilate, back in our text, Pilate said, why? What evil hath he done? That's not it. The evil's not in him. It's in them. It's in us, by nature. By nature. What evil? Crucify. Do we understand? I hope somebody heard it on the radio. If not, maybe I know you'll hear it. Do we understand that these people who were there this day were the most orthodox? They were orthodox Jews. They were religious people. Barnard used to call it a Sunday go-to-meeting lynch mob. Sabbath day keeping bunch. They all were very, very zealous about keeping the law. I mean, the Bible. Very moral, very upright. And yet, when true holiness walked this planet, these good, moral, upright, Bible believing, Sabbath keeping, law keeping people, the utter rebellion and sin came out in them to the most horrible degree. And they said about God and holiness, kill him, just kill him. Let him die the death of a worst criminal on earth. I cannot preach this like it is. And this is the thing, whenever God begins to deal with any son of Adam, the first thing he shows them is their utter depravity. Lord, if you don't save me, I'm going to perish. Lord, I'm such a sinful man. Peter, that's the first thing that the Lord showed him. He said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Didn't he? No, Peter, that's why I came. I'm not going to depart from you, and you're not going to depart from me. I came to save you. I came to be your substitute. I came to redeem. I came for the likes of you. Me, I'm the worst. That's exactly who I came for. But I'm the chief of sinners. Yeah, and you're a pattern, Paul. Saul? Of who God saved. God, I didn't come to call the righteous, Christ said. This is a gospel for sinners. I'm talking hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. Romans 7, sinners. Those who, the evil they would not, that's what they do. The good they would, that's what they can't do. Oh, woe is me. I'm undone. Isaiah 6, sinners. Romans 7, who shall deliver me? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? The very next chapter tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's come to deliver us from what? Sin. Sin, substitute. My, my. And the multitude, oh, I was stricken with this. Sherry, you're an astute hearer. Take good notes in all this. As we go through this, we ought to be reminded of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is in detail all that they did to Christ. Psalm 22. But Isaiah 53 says, He is despised and rejected of men. Every one of them. Says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. There was a time when every believer in here rejected, thumbs down, the truth. Was not interested in God, not interested in Christ, like Barabbas. Like Barabbas. Our Lord, look at this. He exposes man. In verse 24, it says, Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. I'm innocent. This man is just. I'm the judge, and he's just, but I'm killing. Is he innocent? Is anybody innocent? Can a person be indifferent to this message? No. Up there in verse 19, it says his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with this just man. The just one. Keep saying this, doesn't it? The just one. She said, have nothing to do. I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. You know, men and women and even young people have a conscience. What is that conscience? What is it? What's the scripture say? It's the law of God written on the heart. And their conscience smites them. We better hope our conscience is never silent or silent. Conscience smite men and women. Matthew Henry said this, man's conscience is strong, but his corruptions are stronger. Much stronger. See, somebody's got to conquer that corruption. Somebody's got to overcome the evil one. Doesn't it? Somebody's got to wrestle this old Jacob down to the ground, doesn't it, John? Get him down in the ground and put his hell-bound, unbended knee in the dirt and put his obstinate, hard head, bow his hard neck, stiff neck and hard heart and put him down. Is that too rough? Oh, Jacob was so glad somebody grabbed hold of him. Paul said, I was apprehended. Aren't you glad? Huh? I was apprehended. I was stronger than I. Oh, I'm so glad somebody's stronger than me got me down. Because if I, he that is abased will be exalted. Too hard? No. Old Brother Barnard used to say this too. He is first your Lord before he's your Savior. He's no man's Savior whom he's not first their Lord. Well, the multitude, Isaiah 53, oh my. It says he was despised and rejected, and every one of them. And all we did too, you know, how many years did you spend and didn't give God a thought? Huh? How many? You know, to ignore somebody is to say the same. It's the same as saying, I don't care if you're alive, isn't it? It's a very rude thing to ignore somebody. not acknowledge that they're there. A non-person. That's what it is to ignore God and Christ, isn't it? The one who feeds us, the one who clothes us, the one whose breath we breathe. We're all squatters on God's earth, trespassers on God's earth, lived many, many years, never given God a thought, never even asked Him permission to breathe His air, never given Him one word of thanks. Huh? I'm being faithful to them. All of them. All of them. All we like sheep have gone astray. John, how many years did you spend in religion before the sovereign Christ made Himself known to you? What if He left you to yourself? Oh, my. And we suffer fools gladly. We choose wicked men and women. Our will chooses that which is a robber and a thief. As we noted in the message this morning, that the pulpits are full of thieves and robbers. Isn't that what the Lord said about when He came into the temple? He said, "You've made my house a den of thieves, stolen my glory, come in your own name, doing what you do for money." God ought to wipe the whole bunch out, shouldn't He? Who does He save here this day? This day. Got all these good, moral, upright people, you know, Sabbath. On this day, at this particular time, who does He save? Who does He come to be a substitute for? To take the place of, the Redeemer of, a most notable man. A prisoner. Here is the glorious picture of salvation, of substitution. Substitution is the gospel. Substitution is the gospel. Here in this story, in the providence of God, according to God's predetermined will and counsel. See, God works all things after the counsel of His own will, Ephesians 1 says. A counsel, that is a meeting that took place before the world began. God Almighty was there. I'm talking Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. But these three are one. And they met together in this council, this meeting. And they predetermined all things, predestinated. If He's God, it must be so, right? If He's God, He doesn't make plans and they don't come to pass. Oh, no, that's not a God. See, God does. They asked David, said, "What about your God?" He said, "I'll tell you about my God. My God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." You see, my God is God. Your God wants to be and can't unless you let Him. But He still won't be, even if you do. My God is. And my salvation is He let me know that. He revealed Himself to me. He chose me that I might know and understand that He's God. That's where it all starts. It's all our comfort, our hope, our peace, our salvation. Who is this man? God. Come to do His perfect will. Said, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, lo, I come to do thy will." And He said, "This is the will of Him which hath sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son, I'll raise him up." Every single one. Roy, He didn't come to try to do anything. He didn't come to make an attempt at anything. He didn't come to make a down payment on redemption. He came to fulfill that eternal counsel held before the world began. And every person that God Almighty chose in that counsel, every single human being God determined to save, will be saved. Their names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why is it called the Lamb's Book? He's the one that gives life. "As the Father quickeneth whom He will, even so the Son hath this power to quicken whom He will." That means give life. And He gave these to His Son in this council to come down and redeem them. Pay the price for their sin, which is death. The wages of sin is death. to do for them what they could not do, what God demanded of them. Just do and live. They can't. They've all broken it terribly, and they've got to die. Christ did, so they live. He died that they might live. Substitution. Substitution. And every single one of them, he said, I left the 99 to go after the one. And he finds them where he puts them. And on this particular day, one of them was waiting in an old, dark, damp jail cell. His name Barabbas, a notable fellow. Oh, I love this story. I can say with absolute confidence, based on the scripture, that Barabbas was a saved man. Oh, yeah. Everyone for whom Christ died is saved. He was a substitute for this man. God Almighty determined purpose for this certain man to be in jail at a certain time in order to release him. He only saves prisoners, you know that? He only saves sinners, you know that? You know that. And this man was saved for one reason. This man went scot-free for one reason. One reason only. After it was over, he knew it. Everybody knew it. Why are you going free? Because that man died for me. That's why. Picture of salvation. Somebody took his place. And God Almighty has an elect chosen by Him. And when He chose them, even while we were yet sinners, every one of them were thieves and murderers. Adulterers, guilty, held captive by sin, Satan, and the world. All of them rebels. Yes, rebels. Guilty of insurrection against the king. We already said that. With squatters on God's earth, not giving him a thought. How long would you put up with somebody pitching a tent on your property, Charles Ross? How long would you put up with somebody just raping your land? Huh? How long would you put up with somebody eating all your food, drinking all your water? And then your son come along and they kill him. So you have no right here. Kill you. How long would you put up? Would you do anything for people like that? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us! Rebels! That we should be called... Oh, Barabbas could quote this, couldn't he? The thief on the cross could quote this, couldn't he? Behold! That's his favorite verse, the thief on the cross, his favorite verse. Oh, behold! Oh, heaven and earth, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon this rebel that I should be called. Now I'm sitting, Mephibosheth could, that's his favorite verse, wasn't it? Oh, I'm sitting at the table with the king. All my brothers are dead. All of them been hung up, taking their heads off. All Mephibosheth's brothers died. Had their heads hung up. Not Mephibosheth. Why? A covenant. Are you hearing me? A council, a covenant for Christ's sake. God's not going to take our head because He took my head. Christ's in my stead. Substitute. A doctrine. I wish I could preach this like it's a person that took my place. Go down to death row like this fella. And here's some of the worst fellow of all. And go down there and he's about to go into the gas chamber, the gallows, and tell him, hold it, stop. Tell the executioner, stay your hand, stop. Why? Somebody's going to take his place. Only the hardest heart. Oh my. That's what this is. Person taking the place of worthless man. See why we have to paint the picture as black as it can be? And we can't. We can't. We can't. Nobody has. Half's never been told. God Almighty. Oh, He sent His altogether lovely Son. Go back to... I'm out of time. Go to Isaiah 53 in closing, okay? Let's read this in closing. This is in our behalf. Verse 10, it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." What's that pleasure? To make an old Barabbas his people. "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." Substitution, satisfaction. "By his knowledge," not ours, "his, shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressor. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor." Oh, Barabbas, it says that Pilate, see, the law demanded this. The law demanded it. He said, "We have a law that such and such can go free, but one has to be held. Somebody's got to suffer the penalty. We have a law. Whom will it be?" Well, the people said that they did what God determined before to be done. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God said, "Deliver him from going down to the pit. Barabbas, I've found a ransom. Take him. He that spared not his own son," the law says, "Barabbas must go free." And that man walks out. No claims on him. Law, no claim. His record is absolved. He'll never have to face that. Any crimes he's ever done. You think he's a changed man? Come on now. What kind of Savior is Jesus Christ if he doesn't? Huh? Ain't no Savior at all. He's not a Savior in head and doctrine. He gives you a new heart, a new life. Walk by faith. And old Barabbas walked out of there. If he didn't know, somebody told him, "You're going out of here because look right there on that central cross hanging right there. That man is dying in your stead." And John, when he looked, he was saved. This is what. Yeah. What God said. And Barabbas is in here. Look, be saved. Substitute. Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn.